Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports. So glad you're joining us today. We've got an incredible special for you today, something very unique. You know, we've had some heavy stories in the last couple of days about race in America and about organizations that some are dear to our hearts, some stir passion in our hearts, the Salvation Army being one of those, another being Black Lives Matter. All of them sort of engaging in this holiday season on the issue of race. And, you know, these are heavy stories. No matter where you fall on the political spectrum, we are in a moment where race seems to seep itself into every aspect of our life. You heard Alan Dershowitz the other day say critical race theory is actually not only infecting the schools, it's infecting our court system, and it's wrong. We had these great stories, of which we brought some of the reporters on, about the Salvation Army having this guide that told white donors that as part of their donation this year, they should repent for the white racism in, I guess, their ethnicities past. And of course, that got withdrawn or is put under review. And then we had Black Lives Matter come out right in that Thanksgiving holiday weekend and say, hey, you guys who celebrated Thanksgiving with your cold turkey, well, guess what? Or your dry turkey, guess what? You were celebrating it on stolen lands. And then right away, they pivoted and said, this is the group now, Black Lives Matter, the group, the foundation. Hey, Christmas is nothing more than some propaganda arm, some extension of white supremacist capitalism. That's pretty amazing, given that many of their donors are corporations that profit and get their revenues that they pay their employees from through the Christmas holiday season. So with all of this out, it seems like a concerted effort to get people every day to focus on the color of one's skin, one's ethnicity as the predeterminant in our life. I wanted to go to someone who could walk us through thoughtfully where the civil rights issues are, where they're not, where the race hustlers are, where the honest issues are. And I couldn't think of anyone better than Alveda King, the niece of the great Martin Luther King, a extraordinary voice on not only things race, but just about common sense in America and faith in America and all the different components of our life. We're at an inflamed moment. It seems as many people want to make race the predominant discussion in America. And I wanted to go to someone whose family changed the course of America, whose uncle clearly revolutionized America for the better, and get her take on where we are. What do you make of Salvation Army? What do you make of Black Lives Matter? The concept versus the group. Where are we in this post-Rittenhouse, post-Waukesha world? And I think we're going to have a thoughtful discussion today. I'm very excited about it. My wife and I and my son have been talking about this at home because these stories that we've broken on Just the News have had a lot of passion inside. You go and like, what happened to my favorite group that I love, those Red Kettles, but why did I have to repent just for being white? And is this the right thing for the Salvation Army to do? And well, you know, Black Lives Matter. I want all lives to matter, Black lives as well. But do I really want to renounce capitalism? Is that the only way I get to celebrate Christmas this year? So we're going to have a thoughtful conversation with Alveda King. I'm very excited about that. And then we're going to follow up with one of my great colleagues here at Just the News. I'm a big fan of his work. If you haven't read it, or more importantly, if you haven't listened to his brand new podcast, you should do it. Christian Toto is one of the premier Hollywood reporters, entertainment reporters, culture reporters in America. You see him on TV, you see him on our site writing stories, and now he's got a brand new podcast that I'm so proud to put on the Just the News. It's part of the Just the News family. If you haven't seen it, Right on Hollywood with Christian Toto is a great listening experience. It is literally a once-a-week podcast. You should automatically subscribe to it. It's amazing. We're going to bring in Christian to talk about all this stuff, cancel culture, Hollywood being too woke, CEOs and their customers not seeing eye to eye on social issues, or the role that companies should be playing in social issues. All those things are on the table for this extraordinary day today. Alveda King, Christian Toto, two amazing expert voices. We're going to spend the whole time with them. Before we do, I just want to point out a couple of things that have broken on Just the News, because there is every day an important issue going out there. And one of them does involve BLM, and it'll be something we'll discuss with Alveda King in a little bit. But a lot of the companies that gave money to BLM or donated to other groups in the name of Black Lives Matter, the organization, are companies that are retail companies. They make their money on the Christmas holiday shopping season. It's their biggest time of year. And it's interesting, none of them are willing to speak up. We offered an opportunity to all of these companies, all of them, to come on and say, listen, I know you wanted to do good with the donations you made to the cause Black Lives Matter, but Black Lives Matter is calling Christmas a ploy for white supremacist capitalism. Do you believe in that? Would you at least rebuke that concept that somehow Christmas is a colonization effort, which is some of the actual words that Black Lives Matter used? They turned us down day after day after day. None of these groups. So we've listed all these groups for you so you can see who are the big donors and why they didn't necessarily respond to our inquiry, to our efforts in this story that my great colleague Aaron Kliegman wrote today. He's one of our brand new investigative reporters. We quoted Alfredo Ortiz, a prominent Hispanic American businessman, the CEO of Job Creators Network, one of the more important small business groups in America, the voice of Main Street, as I like to say. And he said something I thought just really profound. Step back for a second and think about what Black Lives Matter is attacking. They're attacking the American free market system that gives everybody the chance to climb up the economic ladder. Everyone has a chance to become an entrepreneur, to grow business, to grow wealth, to create a workforce. And Alfredo Ortiz, who's Hispanic, said, listen, the free market is the greatest equalizer we have. We shouldn't be diminishing it and running away from it. It is far better for every person of every race and color and creed and ethnicity and background, because socialist big government always lead to chronic poverty. And in contrast, free markets have opened up some of the greatest wealth opportunities in the history of mankind. Some really strong words by Alfredo Ortiz, a man who represents Main Street America, the small business of America. Check out this story. The headline is a fun story. Corporate backers of BLM undeterred by groups' Christmas blitz against capitalism and holiday shopping. A very important moment. If you've been wondering, hey, whatever happened to the Clinton Foundation? Some bad news for Bill and Hillary Clinton's Family Foundation. Donations are down 75% in 2020 over 2016. It shows you what happens to a lot of these fundraising efforts. When the person who runs the charity no longer is in power, a lot of people, let's just face it and be honest, a lot of people donate because they want something from the people in power. When they're not out of power, they lose interest in the donation. Prima facie proof, the latest tax returns from the Clinton Foundation. Important stuff to be paying attention to today. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Alveda King up first. We're going to have a real serious discussion about race and skin color and policy and rhetoric in this confusing holiday season, where a lot of organizations, some controversial, some that have been sort of blue chip Americans like Salvation Army, all stirring passion and controversy in this very moment. Right back with Alveda King right after this commercial break. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Folks, eat stress-free this spring. How? With Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. That's great for a busy person like me. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your Springtown goals. Why do I use Factor Meals? Well, it's real simple. I'm busy, but I want to eat healthy. And if it only takes you 2 minutes, I'm all in on healthy eating. And the best part is that Factor Meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you got to do is simply heat and savor the good stuff. Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. I love asparagus. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50 and use the code justnews50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That code, one more time, is justnews50 at factormeals.com/justnews50. What are you going to do? You're going to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's a great deal. One more time. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50. Use the promo code justnews50 for half off your first order. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, yes, a very special guest. I'm so elated to have her back on the show. You know her as a civil rights leader, as an evangelist, as one of the real cogent voices in speaking up for the civil rights of the unborn. And of course, she is the niece of the great Dr. Martin Luther King. Joining me right now, Alveda King. Alveda, great to have you on the show.
John, it's wonderful to join you as well. And hello to your whole entire listening audience. Hi, everybody.
We love it. We're so glad to have you on. And today was such a momentous day at the Supreme Court. This Mississippi case, perhaps the largest discussion about abortion in the court since Roe v. Wade. What is your take on what happened today?
Well, you know, Roe v. Wade is really bad law. There's so many holes in what was decided in 1973 that can easily be refuted today. They didn't know if it was really life. They didn't know if it was a blob of tissue, a lump of flesh. Now we know through 3 and 4D ultrasound very, very early that that is a human being. There are so many things that had not been considered. They didn't know how damaging abortion is to a woman's body and her health. So all of this, legal abortion has made us one of the 7 countries in the world that thinks it's okay to abort a baby the whole 9 months. Yeah. So all of that has happened, and we know that it's bad law. And I was very excited to hear the beginnings of those oral arguments and all of that today. I was right there, boots on the ground.
There's some beautiful pictures of you right on the front lines today. And it's such an amazing moment. Were you surprised by the discussion? And what was your take? It felt, you know, a lot of the news media reporting, it looked like a majority of the court, and of course, everyone's guessing from questions, but a majority of the court seemed to be inclined to support the law in Mississippi. What was your take listening to it and all the expertise that you've had on this issue for so long?
I believe there was a lot of support as well. Anybody who is a rational thinker or a sincere heart who cares about human dignity, you could come from either perspective, knows that it's time to overhaul that thing. We could really hear it. We could hear the sentiments. Interestingly enough, our podium was right next to those who still support abortion. And so,
wow,
very fascinating. And if you could hear my remarks, the audio from it, I was really trying to yell over them. I thought it was very important. I said, let God be glorified. I even led the Lord's Prayer, you know.
Believe
that most of America, more Americans, care about human dignity. And we know we've been snookered a little bit. I think so.
Yeah, and that passion was just so you could feel it today. I walked by the court earlier the day before I came into the office, and you know, it was 2-3 hours before the arguments, and you could feel the audience and the passion. You know, this is an issue, and this is a moment in history that we're going to look back and say, this was an opportunity to do what's right. And I think we're going to...
Can I just real quick?
Yes.
On the Dobbs issue, you know, sending it back to the state.
Yes.
Give it back to the people and let the people really consider the issue and make those decisions state by state. That's what happened with the Martin Luther King holiday. I had been elected to the Georgia legislature.
Right.
I was a Democrat at the time, actually. But the holiday had to be ratified state by state before it became federal law.
Yeah.
So letting the people decide state by state, that's a very important move. And
yeah.
So I believe that it's time.
Yeah, in fact, you heard states' rights a lot in the arguments and in the discussion today. And it's ironic because this is one of the places where the court, which ordinarily is very strong on states' rights, said there isn't a state right here, that there's a guaranteed right. It's going to be very interesting to watch how that plays out in this next decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just amazing. Listen, I wanted to get into, it's funny, we've been having a lot of conversations in my own private family because of some stories we did here at Just the News. There have been a couple things that happened at the start of the holidays that Just the News wrote about. It got a lot of attention. And then I'd come home at night, my wife, my son, and I were all talking about it. I just want to walk you through two things because I think you're more eloquent than anyone in helping people understand these issues of race in the 21st century context that we're now living in. The first one is the Salvation Army, a great organization. I've always put money in the kettle. Everyone does. And I know they do a lot of good around the world. But just last week, we had a story that said they put out a guide for this year's holiday giving. And part of the guide said that one of the things they wanted white Americans to do was to repent. That's actually the word they use for the prior, you know, injustices and racism that the white race had it caused across America. And this had an enormous amount of impact. A lot of people, including donors, became very concerned that this was not where the Salvation Army should be. And they have withdrawn that pamphlet now for more review, saying we're going to think about it. Maybe it wasn't the right thing to do. When you see the Salvation Army get drawn into this debate about race today, what do you think? I mean, what sort of things run through your mind right now when you hear that?
Well, the last foot washing I attended was in Washington, D.C., and the white people were washing the black people's feet and it was okay. And I told them later, I said, look, I'm never going to another foot washing unless we all repent together and wash each other's feet.
Yeah.
I said, there's been too much hurt, too much pain, too much injustice anywhere. Quoting Martin Luther King Jr., is anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. But he also said we must learn to live together as brothers. I added sisters or perish together in school. He didn't say neighbors, cousins, or anything like that.
Right.
And out of Acts 17:26, which I learned from three Baptist preachers, Martin Luther King Sr., my dad, Reverend A.D. King, and my uncle, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Acts 17:26, really through 28, of one blood, God made all people.
Yeah.
So if we are one blood, there's only one race. The human race, and when you know, and really, there's only one critical race, the human race. So when I see the Salvation Army doing that, the white people need to keep repenting and apologizing to the black people. Hey, we're one race. We all need to come together and repent for our sins individually as a country, around the world, and learn to live together as brothers and sisters, one race. And if we are one race indeed, one blood, then if we acknowledge that, so they're missing the boat. And I'm really honestly tired of whites, and I really don't want to step on anybody's toes, because I've had Caucasian people in my arms crying and repenting.
Right.
I said, I love you. You actually didn't do it. That was your ancestors. And I know if you don't feel that way today, I'm your sister. And so, and I need to repent too. We all need to repent.
Yeah.
And we are one blood and one race.
It's such an important thing. And we've lost so much of we in America. We always had the idea that no matter what divided us, it was the things that we shared in common that made us great. And it seems like today people are spending so much trying to find the points of division rather than the points of unity, which...
We repent and love each other. And this thing, oh, I'm colorblind. I don't see your skin.
Right.
Yes, you know, if you've got on a blue suit and a red tie...
You see it.
The red tie, I can see the blue suit. Oh, what color is your skin? I don't see it.
Yeah.
And then that means you erase my ethnicity. If
yeah.
you don't see the beauty that God designed in each one of our cultures. So ethnicity is not race. We have to get that.
Yeah, such an important thing. And you're right. Colorblind was this for a moment, for many years, that was sort of a code where, well, we're not racist, but it's okay to see the colors and the differences and the ethnicities and everything. It just can't be the thing that we use to predetermine how we act towards each other. And
that's right.
Yeah, we get it lost.
Hmm.
It's amazing. I want to ask you about another one. So I think of all the people that I've seen speak on this in the last couple of years, you have the best take on Black Lives Matter and separating the group Black Lives Matter from the concept that Black Lives Matter should matter. And this past weekend, we saw Black Lives Matter, the group, the nonprofit group, they put out a bunch of tweets saying, hey, we're launching another Black Xmas, taking Christ out of Christmas, Black Xmas campaign, to help people realize that Christmas is nothing more than a tool of white supremacist capitalism. Your thoughts on what they're doing when they run a campaign like that?
Well, when I look at the XMAS, Remove Christ,
yep.
and then to say that's white supremacy, well, Christmas is celebrated around the world.
It is.
Not just in America. And so that in itself, and it's not even new, into the 60s, into the 70s, Xmas. And I would just casually write it, and somebody said, did you just erase Christ out of Christmas? So I stopped it, and I don't accept it. And I say Merry Christmas. Hey, y'all, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not a Christian, still Merry Christmas. John 3:16 is for everybody.
Yep.
It doesn't even say, for God so loved the Christians.
Yep.
It says the world.
The world.
So, Christ back in Christmas. My Christmas album says Merry Christmas, and then again under that.
Wow.
And so we say Merry Christmas, we mean it. Black Lives Matter, the movement is different from the organization or the group, which is a Marxist group funded by very rich Marxist people who want to destroy our democracy here in America. And if we don't know that, we need to really look at it. And so the movement of Black Lives Matter, my answer is this. Well, of course Black Lives Matter, because human life matters.
Right.
It's just that simple. But you're not going to just pick one group and then just tell the other people you're evil and hateful and God hates you. No, God doesn't hate any of us. We are human beings with different ethnicities, and we must come together. I don't think you exactly asked me about critical race there, but you can look at BLM, Black Lives Matter, and then CRT, critical race theory.
Yep.
They're and that's
intrinsically
the
linked, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, and the Christians and the nice people, I call them and all that, oh, no, critical race theory is evil. We're just not going to deal with it. I say, no, no, no. They started it. I say, so let's finish it. Let's really talk about critical race theory and go right into the schools and put it in the textbooks that it is it's Marxist, it is socialist, it's created by people who want to foster hate and division. It was started by Caucasian anthropologists like Darwin. What's the other man's name? Carl. You have to look it up. But I wrote about him the other day, too.
Yeah.
They were so nervous about preserving what they called the Aryan race or the superior race that they came up with a critical race theory and saying the black people, for example, brains were smaller and all this kind of thing. Because they wanted to eradicate any people group, any ethnic group, except themselves. So if it's Marxist. And if we don't say that, we need to teach exactly why it's bad. So just to say it's bad, I love what they did in Virginia, saying, no, the dads and moms says we're not going to let our kids learn hate and hate each other. I absolutely love that. But explain to the kids why. explain what critical race theory really is. And once we do that, then the children will say, that really is bad, because we're all human beings. It doesn't matter what color we are. We have to actually teach Act 1726 and why critical race theory does not support the truth.
Yeah, such an important this dialogue. Your family has, for well over a half century, worked to unify and make America better. And there were a lot of hard issues that had to be overcome by your uncle, your dad, you. We're at a moment now where, when you look at the data, there's a lot of progress in America. There's a lot of things we can celebrate. We have a lot of problems still. But it seems like there's been a concerted effort in the last 48 months or so to really focus on division. That your skin is going to predetermine your outcome, your behavior, your ceiling in life, which is antithetical to the whole reason we started America in the first place. How do we get out of this cycle of division that we're trapped in? We seem like it's been a very intense 4 years of chronic division.
The truth has to be told in every generation and certainly every decade, because if you skip one or two decades, the third decade won't remember it, and conjecture comes in, and that's when things begin, people begin to fight without truth. And so my uncle would just say, teach the truth. Truth crush the earth will rise again, but only if we speak truth. We have to speak it in love. Agape love, faith, hope, and love. We have to have all of that. But we have to have it in every generation. And I remember, and we didn't talk about this, but let me just throw it on the table.
Please.
COVID and all of that.
Yes.
And people are really pretty tired of COVID right now.
I think they are.
Even with the loss, you know, I lost my executive assistant to COVID.
Oh.
My Harry Jackson, Herman Cain. So it hurts.
Yep.
Does. But we rather, what God told me in my heart was fear not, you know. Don't fight each other. Fight to live. Don't have your holidays and times with your loved ones. Did you take the shot? Or why did you take the shot? Or what did you do? And you know, no. Let everybody work out their healing path and their salvation, actually, with fear and trembling. But love each other. Don't argue and fight. The arguing and fighting and violence are not holy. They're not of the Lord. So if I see my brother and sister, I'm not supposed to fight with them about these issues, but I'm supposed to fear not and fight to live.
That's such good words of wisdom for all of us to live by. You just have to hope that 2022 is the beginning of that truth moment where we put aside our differences and we find what's good in each of us, because there's a lot of great in this country, and you are living proof that you and your family and its contributions to the great American experience are something that we'll forever revere. And Alvita, I just want to thank you. Every time you come on, you bring such great wisdom to the show. So I want to thank you very much for being on today.
And look for me at alvitaking.com and speakforlife.org.
Speakforlife.org and alvita.com. Okay.
Alvita King.
Exactly. All right. We're going to remember those, and I'm going to post those up on my Twitter account in just a few seconds.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. You have a blessed holiday.
Merry Christmas.
God bless.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks. We're going to be right back in a few minutes. We're going to go diving into some breaking news in just a few minutes with my good friend, Christian Toter, right after these commercial messages. Hey folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home. Hey folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right. You heard me right. 4 years for 30 bucks. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special. 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, one of my favorite colleagues, I've worked with him for many years at the Washington Times, and here, one of the greatest writers in Hollywood, one of the greatest reporters and journalists in Hollywood, joining us right now, and the host of a must-listen-to podcast, Right on Hollywood with Christian Toto. Joining me right now is Christian Toto. Christian, great to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words.
You have been one of the most cogent voices in Hollywood for a very long time. And one of the things that I've always enjoyed as an editor when I get to see your content, you're always leaning in and you're finding trends before other people realize are going on. And I have to say, I think you were 10 years ahead of the whole cancel culture, blacklisting in Hollywood theme. I think you were one of the first journalists to really chronicle it. And the other day, your great podcast, Right on Hollywood. Folks, if you haven't checked it out, go download it, go get subscribed. It's incredible. It's on every platform. You're talking about the great comedian Josh Denny, but you talked about that the blacklist has actually been robust enough. We actually have a 2.0 version of it in Hollywood. Tell me a little bit about what you're learning there.
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking to actors for years about this, and often when I interview them, they'll say, hey, would you mind if you don't mention that I'm right of center, that I'm conservative? I don't want that out. I've talked to filmmakers who have worked with crew members who basically used pseudonyms on their projects because not that they didn't want to do the project, but they knew that there could be backlash. And it's also interesting, about every year or so, there's a new article. It could be in Variety, The Hollywood Reporter, Deadline.com, that basically admits this sort of suppression of right-of-center artists is happening. And it just kind of shrugged off, like, oh, okay, you know, conservative actors have to meet in secret and they fear for their careers. Well, that's not right. I mean, if the people in question were conspiracy theorists or saying these wacky stories, but often they're just people who lean to the right or like limited government. They're not, you know, it's within the realm of reason and they shouldn't have to hide their views. And at the same time, you know, liberal actors share their politics in every possible place, you know, from the Academy Awards podiums to social media to interviews. And good for them. They can say what they want. It's what makes this country great. But they should lend that same openness, that same ability to speak their minds to their colleagues.
Yeah. You know, I have encountered this so much. I remember it was maybe just a few years ago now, but I was with a famous actor. We had dinner and I asked him, could he do an interview with me? And he said, I will, but I can't take the risk until after my show gets into 5 years. So I get the syndication right. So I guess after 5 years, so he just wasn't willing to even do a interview and talk about his political leanings until he was sure his show had gotten to syndication rights where he would make a lot more money. This sensibility in Hollywood that if you're libertarian, if you're conservative, you're going to pay a price for even raising your head one moment is really palpable when you talk to the real frontline makers. Now, you celebrate some of the what I would call the boomerangs or the comeback kids. A couple of weeks ago on your podcast, you had a great take on Gina Carano, the Disney star, and how her comeback and why it matters. I mean, she got instantly blacklisted and she's found a way to revive her career probably faster than anyone I know. Talk about what Gina did and why it's so remarkable in this cancer culture moment.
Yeah, well, she was on The Mandalorian, a big role for her, and her career has had ups and downs. She's a former MMA fighter who transitioned to Hollywood, and on The Mandalorian she got a lot of good publicity. I think she had a bit of a fan base going, but she is either right of center or a free thinker or just someone who likes to stir things up in a way to make us think in general, maybe just kind of push away the preferred narratives. And she did it on social media. And Disney warned her again and again, And she really knew that anything that she said next that could be troublesome, that could be interpreted as problematic, that she'd be gone. And she did it. She made a social media post comparing early, maybe 1930s Germany to today in certain ways. I don't like going there. I don't like that the Nazi connection at all. But, you know,
it never wins for anyone who's ever used it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just it should be off the table just from a gentleman's point of view. Just
exactly.
You can make it differently. But she was actually arguing for empathy. She wasn't saying these are mean or casting people as Nazis. So even if you don't like the argument and even if you don't agree with it, what she was reaching for was a better understanding of our fellow Americans. And she got fired by Disney at the same time that Disney's been working with the Chinese government. And we know what the Chinese government is up to on multiple levels. And even her colleagues at The Mandalorian have said nastier things about Nazi comparisons. Pedro Pascal, who's the lead in the show, has done that. Bette Midler, who's right now shooting Hocus Pocus 2, a Disney Plus production, has said the nastiest things about Senator Rand Paul, basically cheering on violence against him. And I'm thinking, well, that's okay, but what Gina said isn't. So it's a real double standard, and she knew it. And I met her, and I've interviewed her recently, and she couldn't live with herself to not be herself. And she's been able to kind of resurrect her career. And, you know, kudos to the Daily Wire for hiring her. But I think that there's a lesson there that if you do speak your mind, that you will pay some prices, but there may be some rewards as well.
Yeah, that is such an amazing thing to take a look at as we go through. And, you know, I think now what's beginning to, and I'd like to test this with you and see if you're seeing it. It appears that the conservatives who for so long have been pinned down in Hollywood have decided, you know what? We're not going to try to live in this environment. We're going to go create an opposite and equal ecosystem. We're going to start to build out. And so you start to see very successful new movie initiatives that are targeted at Christian families or family-friendly movies and family-friendly entertainment. Is there a alternate Hollywood beginning to grow? Obviously, it's a long way from catching up to the, you know, the Tinseltown. But do you see elements of an alternate place where people can go and say in the future, you know what? I don't care if Disney picks me up. I can go here.
Yeah, I think you're seeing those seeds, but it's a very difficult process. I mean, just everything in Hollywood is challenging. You could lose millions on the wrong project. You make a mistake with the greatest actors, and all of a sudden you've got a flop. So I think the obstacles in the way of them are significant. But I think what we're seeing on a smaller level is the success. Larry Elder had a documentary, Uncle Tom, which was very successful on a modest scale. And again, you know, not a big budget. It didn't get any sort of mainstream attention, but it recouped its costs very quickly. And there are a lot of comedians out there who are not even right of center, just kind of prickly, just kind of adventurous in what they say, like Ryan Long. And they do very well. And they're kind of building these own careers completely outside the Hollywood ecosystem. And I think they love it because they can just do what they want and be their own boss and have the freedom and still be able to make a living, which is the all important, you know, the question at the end of the day, can I survive?
Yeah, without a doubt. There's no doubt that is the question. And, you know, at the end of the day, these people have a livelihood in business. And that's the most powerful thing that those that want to create a monolithic view in Hollywood hold over them. And for anyone who's come up against it, they know that it's a real threat to their futures. As you look out now, Kristen, do you think we have reached a moment of pause, a moment of detente at all? Do some of these organizations, and let's expand it out beyond Hollywood to social media. You know, Jack Dorsey stepping down yesterday is a earthquake moment in social media. And what we're finding out is, as popular as Twitter was, it apparently doesn't have a very good business model still. Do you think that some of the market forces are beginning to get some of these left-leaning corporate titans to rethink the idea that poking half of America or alienating 50% of America is not a good long-term business model?
You know, actually, I don't. I don't think yet. It may come to that point. And there's a couple of reasons why. One, we've seen some social media companies spring up like Getter, right. Parler, MeWe, and they don't seem to really break through. And I've been pretty active. Yeah, I mean, but they need some sort of, I guess, maybe event or maybe even like a Trump-style figure to kind of embrace them. And then maybe a whole bunch of people will move over there. But, you know, I'm on Twitter a lot, and all I see are people who are, you know, think similar to me, at least, or at least are open-minded about things. And they complain, oh, Twitter's banning this and censoring this. Well, why are you here still? Or why aren't you sharing your time on these other platforms? And I think these platforms, including Hollywood, will really have to learn a lesson. You know, the get woke, go broke sort of message. I don't think it's gotten through yet. And even though there's been great examples of this happening, I think that there has to be much more financial punishment before these big organizations say, oh my gosh, what are we doing? I think we've made a mistake. But I also think that the alternate right of center counterculture can kind of force them to say, oh my goodness, we're leaving a lot of money on the table. Let's go here. And I think that'd be a great thing.
Yeah, it would be. It seems like that moment has to come, or the correction in the marketplace. I mean, it's what our founding fathers intended when they created the free marketplace that is America, that we would self-correct things because the market would use its common sense and shift and say enough's enough and vote with their dollar. We see people voting with their feet, right? They're leaving states like California and New York and New Jersey and Michigan in droves because it's too expensive. They don't like the policies. They don't like the size of government or governance. Now the question is, will people walk in with their eyeballs and their wallets and their entertainment choices? And they've been slow to do that. And I'm curious, as you look out over the horizon, do you see trend lines that would concern even independent Americans? Are there trend lines of the censorship continuing that should concern all of us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see it almost every day. I mean, just think about what we're learning and finding out about COVID, about, you know, the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. That was just recently.
Yeah, just
and
a year
that
ago.
Should have been a wake-up call to everyone that this is wrong, that you can't just sort of summarily dismiss a story because it doesn't have the narrative you want. You know, these things should be red pill moments for people who, no matter what their political persuasion is, they say, oh, you know, wait, I was told that was a lie, that was misinformation, that was Russian plotting. And now we're finding out it's true. Why did my favorite news outlets, you know, try to hide that from me? That should wake people up.
Yeah.
But I think that's a slow process, unfortunately. And I talk to comedians who say that their work is censored sometimes. A comedian who does a great Dr. Fauci impression, which is not, it's kind of fun. It's not really vicious.
Right.
And he's suffered some social media punishments for doing that. So
Ryan
Long has suffered that as well. So we're not at a good place. I think there's a rising awareness in the general population that it's a problem, but we're not there yet. There's still hurdles to kind of overcome.
It is an extraordinary moment. And, you know, I think the definition of what America is going to be for the next 25 or 50 years, the underpinnings are being written right now. And there are a lot of people, particularly younger people, who seem to like this big government, monolithic, everyone should think the same way, a globalist view of the world. And that idea of personal liberty seems to always be the thing that loses out in the establishment corners of our lives, whether it's on social media, government. And I think that we're going to determine an entire two or three generations experience in America by the decisions we make in the next few years, because I think we're really at one of those tipping points. As you step back now and you look, what is the state of comedy? I mean, when I grew up, we were so lucky to have, you know, some of the greatest comedians of all time, you know, David Letterman and Jay Leno and Johnny Carson before that. And everybody was fair game every night. You know, Ronald Reagan got made as fun of as Jimmy Carter. And then we seem to have gotten to this state now where things don't feel as funny and they feel like they're pretty monolithic. Do you think there's a breakout moment where comedians are going to say, you know what, I'm tired of this girdle. I'm taking it off. I'm going back to regular humor.
Well, I think I keep waiting for that movie. Maybe an independent film, perhaps, that is off the wall and outrageous and legitimately funny and pushes a lot of really challenging buttons. And that kind of is a cultural moment. We're not there yet for sure. But it is interesting that the comedians see themselves more as, propagandists is a hard word, but they're cheerleaders. They're cheerleaders for a team. And, you know, if Stephen Colbert saw a story about, let's just say, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that was very mockable.
Right.
There's a very good chance that he wouldn't go there. He wouldn't go anywhere near
it. It's just amazing.
That he'd go back, maybe Senator Ted Cruz or Tucker Carlson. So that's where the Joe Rogans and the Ryan Longs and the J.P. Sears, they're willing to go in these directions. And I think that if they continue to have the success, they have to shame the late night team. And, you know, the Gutfeld situation is the perfect example. Here's a show that does not have a huge budget from what I can tell. It doesn't have any A-list guests. There's no Tom Hanks sitting on Gutfeld's couch at all. And yet he's been at or near the top of the late night landscape. The show debuted in April, and a few months later he was the king because people were desperate for something different. And I think that if you're a Netflix or a Hulu, you've got to look at that and say, we want our Gutfeld. We want our guy or gal who's going to do that thing, but they're not. And that speaks volumes.
They're missing an enormous opportunity. And It's going to be an interesting moment to see. There was a fascinating story on Just the News, and it's a little bit bigger than Hollywood or the entertainment culture, but I think the warning signs are the same. One of the main management firms that really is the horse whisperer to CEOs around the country, it's in the top three or four top management consulting firms in America. They did a study, and they interviewed 300 or 400 CEOs who came out with very strong expressions that they thought it was their mission, their responsibility, and they were being successful by weighing in on social issues and trying to use their corporate perch to get the consumer base of their companies to conform to a certain social view or a certain political view. So like 63% of CEOs thought that was a good thing and that they were succeeding. And then they interviewed the consumer base and only 36% thought that was a good thing and was succeeding. And the other 67% thought that it was a bad thing. Is there a disconnect between these, you know, MBA graduate CEOs running the major blue chips of America and the very base of America that is their customer base? Does that continue into Hollywood? And is there any moment where CEOs are going to wake up and say, you know what, I think I'm poking the wrong bear?
Yeah, the disconnect is obvious. It's significant. I think it's based on the news that we consume and maybe the Facebook friends we follow, because if I follow people who are left of center, I will get certain narratives. And if it's people who are the right of center, I'll get a separate set of narratives. But it's interesting. If you're a right of center person, you kind of get it all because you absorb what Twitter is promoting and what different news outlets are promoting. And then you seek out other news outlets that maybe align with your worldview. So, you know, I have people who I'm dear friends with who are left of center, and they probably aren't aware of things that I'm aware of. This is a quick personal story. I kind of lost my best friend of like 20 years. We were having an argument about Cuomo, the governor, and also Russian collusion. And he was a big fan of Cuomo, and he said the Russian collusion was still true. And I was arguing, no. I mean, because I had read alternate news sites. I knew what Cuomo was up to.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. He hung up on me. It's the last time we spoke. And I thought, wow. I don't even care that he disagrees with me. But he was so adamant that I was wrong and that I shouldn't be listened to.
Wow.
And yet I was right. And again, I don't even care that I'm right. I could have been flat out wrong.
Right.
But here's my friend who's getting this, and I'm sure he's, you know, absorbing different news outlets. You know, Governor Cuomo was considered sort of the possible successor to Biden if Biden stepped aside during the campaign last year. So he, you know, he had a different news feed than I did, and it shattered our friendships. And I hear this all the time. It's so sad. I just want more honesty and more transparency and for people to open their minds.
Yeah, this alternate world where I gave a speech a few years ago at High Point University, and the point I was making was that once the media started to divide up its audience and say we're only going to have red readers and blue readers, that the we in America would start to shrink. And I started to put Fox News on the map and HuffPo and MSNBC on the map and watch what happens to the number of people who self-identify as independent. It just keeps shrinking because you're forced to choose sides when the news you read, which, you know, there used to be an agreement in America that everybody had the same facts and then you'd come to your different conclusions. Now people have different facts, right? And if you listen to Adam Schiff, you're absolutely convinced that Donald Trump was a spy for Russia. And, you know, if you listen to John Durham and the Attorney General and the FBI, you find out, and Robert Mueller, he wasn't a spy. No such thing. It was contrived. But the fact that we can't even agree on the facts anymore seems to have put us on a course of just creating two camps in America. And basically, we're back to the North and South, just not over civil war and slavery, but over whatever the political issues of the day are. We're just driven into these camps, and we never want to talk to each other again. And that anecdote with your friend is just so powerful to think that a single political dispute could end a friendship like that or put it on a hiatus. It's remarkable. Do you see anyone, any influencer, somebody that just awakens us all to, we got to stop this? Is there somebody out there that's emerging right now? You know, is it Joe Rogan maybe? I mean, what's interesting about Joe Rogan is he seems to translate to all different sort of people, right? He's got people on the far left, people on the far right, people in the middle, libertarians. What is the Joe Rogan dynamic going on right now in America? And is there someone like him that at some point is going to get us to wake up and say, what we've been doing is foolish? We're giving up friendships and common sense for no good reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the ideal figure right now because he's not a political beast. I think generally he's probably left of center if push comes to shove. He's probably a little bit right here, a little bit left there. But he really is open-minded. He wants everyone to come into his studio. You know, he's had Alex Jones on. I'm not an Alex Jones fan at all. I don't think that's productive. But that is his choice. He's kind of a comical figure, and I guess he finds him amusing. But at the end of the day, he is a podcaster. He is a comedian. He can sort of have on guests from a variety of fields and backgrounds. But he really seems like he's searching. He's really kind of interviewing people, and he doesn't strike me as an intellectual at all, although I think at this point he's interviewed so many experts, he's probably rather bright and in a wide range of areas.
Yeah.
But because he's not seen as a Ben Shapiro type, and no offense to Ben Shapiro, but he's brilliant, or, you know, or someone on the left like Rachel Maddow, he doesn't sort of enter the conversation with the baggage, and that is fascinating. And also, you know, Bill Maher is similar. He's a left of center person. He's been that way for years, but he has been just devastating on what's going on in woke culture right now. And he's preaching to a very different choir than a Ben Shapiro is.
Yeah. And I think even John Stewart is beginning to, you know, he really is the millennial generation's lefty favorite guy. But even he is saying, hey, guys, stop. We've gone way too far. We're abandoning our values. It's going to be interesting to see who steps into this void in the next few years. As you look out, who are the young stars in Hollywood that we should be watching for? Left, right, center, independent, funny, not funny, dramatic. Who are your favorite rising stars in Hollywood?
You know, he's outside the system, but I've been really intrigued by Tim Dillon. He is, I guess, in his mid-30s. He's a podcaster. He's a stand-up comedian. He has videos and things like that. But he actually reminds me of Howard Stern the way he used to be. Just speaking kind of creatively in a way that's against the grain, taking absurd positions to be an absurdist, but also illuminating some interesting thoughts along the way. And that's a fascinating process. You know, we forget about the Lenny Bruces and the George Carlins. It's not just ha-ha funny, but he really kind of challenged us. And the best comedians do that. And by the way, you know, Stephen Colbert gave a recent interview. He talked about how we have to be careful when we tell jokes. But for a comedian, every time he or she steps on a stage, it's a workshop. It isn't a finished product. So if a comedian tells a joke and says, oh my gosh, that I didn't quite get it. I'm going to try something a little bit different tomorrow. And then maybe she gets closer to the joke. And then in 2 weeks, she nails it. And it's a really funny, illuminating joke. Well, she had to go from A to B to C to get there. And if we don't let the comedians have that journey, then we're not going to get the great material and we're going to really stifle the art.
Yeah, no, it's such an important point to make and for all of us to watch. I mean, at some point we've got to take this girdle and shackles off of humor or it's not going to be funny anymore. I follow Tim Dillon a lot and he is a fun guy. He kind of reminds me, he has a little bit of Dave Zucker slapstick in him, you know, the famous, you know, going all the way back to the 70s and Airplane, you know, which were designed to make us laugh about not taking ourselves too seriously. He seems to have that slapstick capability, but he also challenges you to think, and the greatest comedians in our lifetime always manage to do that. Christian, how do people follow all that you're doing? You're doing such great work. The podcast is on Just the News. You can go to our website. It's on all the platforms, but how do people, what are the best coordinates to stay in track with all of the great work you do every day?
Well, my website is hollywoodintoto.com. I update it 7 days a week. I have a book coming out in January, Virtue Bombs, How Hollywood Got Woke and Lost Its Soul. And on Twitter, yes, I'm still on Twitter, though I'm on Getter as well. It's at hollywoodintoto.
Yeah, such great stuff. And folks, if you have not tried this podcast, you've got to do it. It is amazing. It's one of my favorite. We're so excited. It just started a few weeks ago. It's already lighting things up. But every week, go down and get the latest podcast. It is an amazing take on cancel culture, on Hollywood. It gives you a break from some of the process stuff that we have to cover here in Washington. It's an amazing thing. Right on Hollywood with Christian Toto. Go download it today. Go subscribe. It is fantastic. Christian, we are so lucky to have you in the Just the News family. Your writing, your reporting is amazing. And of course, your podcast is an absolute winner. We can't wait to get you back on the show more regularly.
Thanks. I'd love that.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for the day right after this.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome back from the commercial break. A special thanks to our good guest today. I'm so thankful for Alveda King, so thankful for Christian Toto, two very wise people who I thought brought a lot of fact and perspective into the conversation today. So grateful for them. Hey, keep in mind, if you want to do something special for the holiday season, I've got the perfect gift for you. Annie's Kit Clubs, they have the best crafting opportunities. A monthly subscription from Annie's Kit Clubs can be a gift that gives all year long. Use your hands, use your mind, woodworking, crocheting, knitting, and they also have a program to take the end product that you made with your hands and give it to somebody in need. Meaning, the gift that you created keeps giving because you give it to someone in need. Maybe a wounded warrior, maybe a homeless person, maybe someone struggling to make ends meet that couldn't afford a blanket or mittens or a cap. That makes me excited. The good friends, our good friends and our good partners, our good sponsors at Annie's Kit Clubs run a special opportunity. But just because you're a Just the News, John Solomon Reports fan, you get 75% off your first month's kit when you sign up for a subscription. Go check them out today. All you have to do is use the Just News word at checkout or go to annieskitclub.com/justnews. Either way, you're going to get that incredible special offer. They do amazing things. You saw what they did for Veterans Day. I'm so grateful they were part of our Veterans Day special. Reward them. Say thank you to them for supporting us by going to their site to go buy a gift subscription for someone for Christmas, or better yet, spoil yourself for Christmas and get one of the great Annie's Kit Club subscriptions. I'm excited. I'm giving my niece a subscription for Christmas. I'm so excited. She doesn't know, so shh. Don't tell her yet, okay? I want it to be a surprise on Christmas Day. All right, folks, that wraps it up for the day. We'll be back tomorrow with more news. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about energy. We've got the former Interior Secretary, David Bernhardt, here. Very important discussion. We're going to make sense of what Joe Biden did and didn't do over the last week to try to address gas prices, and then look at some of the alternative solutions to try and lowering energy costs in America with David Bernhardt tomorrow, former Interior Secretary for President Trump. Until then, go check out Just the News all the time. We've got you covered in breaking news 24/7. God bless you. God bless this extraordinary country, the United States. Good night. We'll be back tomorrow.
It's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.
At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.